There's an online video, which you may have seen, of a woman longing to travel, walking on her home treadmill with a wheeled suitcase rolling behind her. She's got her sun hat and comfortable trekking clothes on and an inflatable travel pillow around her neck. Many are longing to travel again soon. But what compels us to travel anyway? My most formative travel memory is from my senior year of college. I had the opportunity to participate in a study abroad program and live with a family in Cuenca, Ecuador. I arrived at the home of the family around midnight and went to bed without seeing the town or the home that I was going to be staying in for the next semester in the light of day. In the morning, I awoke, and before even opening my eyes, I knew that I was in a different place. Everything sounded different to my Pacific Northwest ears. The birds and wind in the trees, the neighborhood dogs, the sound of cooking and voices downstairs. In that moment, I was filled with the joy of the adventure ahead and also daunted by the prospect of getting through my first day with my very poor Spanish. When we travel, our minds and our hearts feel more expansive. We're hardwired with a need for transformation, and travel has a way of bringing hope that we'll come away changed. As of today, travel remains limited. Just this week, even the Washington State Ferries, understandably, asked that travel be curtailed to essential Puget Sound crossings only. So, especially at Christmas, I, for one, feel grounded. But in the gospel today, there's a different kind of journey described for us, one filled with unimaginable wonder and adventure. We hear of two travelers, John, sent to witness, and Jesus, the true light coming into the world. The annotated notes of my Bible describe the plot of Jesus' story in John chapter 1 as, Jesus begins with God in heaven, sojourns on earth, and returns there. But there's another traveler mentioned too, and that's us, invited to grace. Not just one stop at grace, but two, grace upon grace. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Why are there two stops? And why would we go? Grace is a big word and a little one-syllable sound. There are many definitions. Growing up as a kid in Bible class, I sometimes heard of God's grace as the forgiveness of sins, or the covering or overlooking of sin. But in closer look at Scripture, it's often much more than that. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And Acts 14, "So Barnabas and Paul spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders." In both of those passages, the usage of the word grace is synonymous or interchangeable with the word power, or more specifically, God's enabling power. It's the power that God willingly gives us to help us do what we could never do on our own. And I believe that is the usage referred to in today's gospel. Grace upon grace is needed right about now. God's enabling power is needed when we're grieving, when we find ourselves traveling out of unexpected necessity. It's needed when downsizing out of a beloved home, or right out of a home altogether and seeking shelter, or to respond when called to a new ministry. It's needed to work for justice, for righteousness, to answer our calling as Christians, to love God and neighbor. And none of those are things that we can do alone without a double stop of grace. By Christmas, there's already a lot of traveling involved in Jesus' story. And we're just 10 days away from Epiphany, when the Magi arrive to pay homage to baby Jesus, no doubt experiencing grace upon grace as they find their way. Today's gospel reads like a love letter, urging us. Grace is not something that descends from on high, out of thin air, but out of relationship. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We are invited to actively receive, not because we have to, but because we are beloved by the Messiah, the great I Am, the name above all names, Emmanuel, God with us. When we claim God's grace, we will not always be accepted or understood in the world. And there's days I don't feel up to that. But in looking to our two fellow sojourners today, I take great encouragement. I love that John was so rough around the edges with his camel hair shirt, living on locusts as he testified to the light. John embodied the definition of grace, living boldly with God's enabling power, even while often being misunderstood. And sojourning with Jesus Christ is altogether a different kind of travel, one that involves transformation and the renewing of the Spirit. Our minds and souls, yes, but also our very spirits become more expansive. And I long for that expansion. And what of the question of why there are two stops at grace? Why grace upon grace? Once we experience God's enabling power and come away changed, I suspect we will never want to turn back. We are invited to keep growing in grace and make more than one stop, and in fact, make many more than two in this action-packed, memorable itinerary of adventure. There's no waiting required. Next stop, grace upon grace, please.